We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Author Riley Kilmore has had quite the journey. For 20 years, she served as a firefighter, in addition to being a police officer, and she may have leaped from an airplane or two and sailed around the world. And after earning her MFA in writing popular fiction in 2022, she won the 2023 West Virginia Fiction Competition and has also authored a new book called Shay the Brave, which is a coming-of-age middle-grade novel. And I'm happy to have her on The Spark with us today.
So our first question here, just going to jump right into it. When you were writing this, what were some of your thoughts, some of your motivations? Where were you in life when you were writing Shay the Brave?
Well, actually, Shay the Brave was something I wrote in grad school.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I was late to grad school. I just went a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had finished, I went for writing popular fiction.
Okay.
So I had finished my thesis novel in 1 year, and my mentor said, well, you need to write something else.
Hmm.
My thesis novel was, or is, a space saga, a science fantasy space family saga.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. I had no thought as to what that was going to be. So I just sat down in front of my blank screen and let it flow. And, and Shay is what came out. And really, it was one of those projects that felt more channeled than written because I just wrote pretty much a chapter a day. And there it was. And in a month, I had written a book. And I turned it into my mentor. And in about a month, she approved it and said, okay, you have to write a third book.
Oh, wow.
So I thought there'd be more work to it. but she was happy with it. And, so that's how Shay was born.
Now, you said when you sat in front of that blank screen, you kind of let it flow. Now, when I interview different authors, like, that blank screen does different things for different people. So for yourself, is that blank screen motivation versus intimidation?
Well, that's a very good question. I think it depends where I am at, like you say, in mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person who works better, I think, under deadline.
Mm.
So knowing I have a deadline, that's a motivation for me.
Mm.
And I sort of did with Shay,
yeah.
Though I had a year because I had a year till the end of grad school. But it just flowed. So I let it flow. And when I started writing, I didn't really know what the story was going to be about.
Mm.
It kind of just evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really fun to write. Other projects, a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I will tell you this, Riley, we might be cousins because I operate on deadlines as well. Deadlines are very, very motivating, you know, seeing that end date, you know, in your face, like, hey, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Absolutely,
closer.
yes, I'm with you there.
So this chapter a day thing, I've literally never heard that. Was that because this you did this in school, or was this the plan that you put out for yourself?
Well, Shay is intended as a middle grade book, so the chapters aren't super long. So it was an achievable thing to do a chapter a day. And it's pretty much just the way it worked out. It was about the word count that I could manage in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the time to do it. I would generally get up at be writing by 6 o'clock in the morning and give myself till about noon each day, sometimes a little longer, and then get on to other things in life. So Yeah, I think it's because it was a children's book, that it was digestible chunks like that.
Now, how does your book writing process start? Do you go on vacation? Do you kick everybody out the house for the weekend? Do you meet with other author friends and you lock yourself in an Airbnb? What's your process?
Well, I'm very much a solitary writer, I think, and I think a lot of writers are introverts, and I'm definitely in that vein. So I'm more of the lock myself away kind of person, and I do a lot of my writing. I don't plan out a book so much as I like the day before I plan to write something, I'll take a long walk or just have some quiet time. And I sort of plan out in my head, what is the next part of the book? What's the next chapter? What's the next scene? Mm. And so, less of a planner. I don't outline on paper usually, but in my head, I sort of have a goal for the next writing day where I'm going to get this scene done
Now, past authors that I've talked to as well say that they have books that they write for strictly reading, and then they have books that they write that could possibly be adaptation in a movie. So for yourself, do you take that into mind? Like, okay, I'm going to write this so that there can be a movie adaptation to it, or you haven't even fixed your mind to that yet? Where are you at?
Well, I think I don't know. I think just every author would love to have their book turned into a movie, but maybe not. Maybe they don't think that. But I think you have to be a little careful if you're going to write to that end. Mm. Your writing is going to have a certain cinematic bent to it, maybe more so than a literary bent. Maybe that's what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I like the idea of anything I've written being taken to the next step but I don't visualize it as a movie as I write, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, picking apart some of the pieces in Shay and her journey, I'm just thinking this could... I could see something possibly, so that's why I wanted to ask that because with more authors, we're seeing stuff like Amazon and Netflix and Hulu, and they're taking these novels and turning them into series. They're turning them into movies. So just wanted to find out if that's where where you were leaning.
I mean, I think Shane would make a very good, movie. Mm-hmm. Of course, it would have to be, with CGI and all kinds of animation that we can do these days would have to come into play into a story like that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many the fantasy elements with the creatures but it's totally doable.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about Shay the Brave now. So how does feisty Shay's desire to wear breeches and cut her hair challenge societal norms in Oldenshire?
Oh, yes. Well, Oldenshire, is envisioned, it's a fantasy world, so it's not Earth per se, but it's sort of Earth parallel in that you could kind of picture it as almost like a medieval times, all right? But it isn't intentionally that specifically. So, but in her time, there are specific roles for gender. And so that is one of the ways she challenges her world. I think in that sense, there's a bit of the rebel in her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not sort of in your face, you know. But she has this goal that she would like to be able to wear what she wants to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And, she does eventually manage to have that happen.
Yeah. So what role does the Harvest Revel play in the cultural traditions of Oldenshire?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's sort of equated in my mind to a sort of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a time of coming together. It's held during harvest time, of course. And so there are games involved and, of course, traditional foods. So, yeah, it can be matched in a way with any other sort of harvest celebration that other cultures would have.
Mm.
Except that the traditional foods are ones that she doesn't approve of,
mm-hmm.
because that's another way she sort of combats her lifestyle, is that she doesn't want people to be eating meat.
Mm.
So she refuses to eat, you know, animal products.
Now, we see this this word pop up more than a dozen times in the book, the pouncer.
Oh.
what exactly is or what does the pouncer symbolize?
Well, basically, Shay is allegory. So we're talking about cross-cultural conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So the pouncer, he's sort of the king of the forest. He represents the other culture, she wants to reach across those cultural lines and forge friendship and peace.
Mm.
But right now, at least at the beginning of the book, that's not possible because you literally have like two groups. You have the citizens of Oldenshire and you have the creatures of the forest that surround it,
mm-hmm.
basically literally eating each other.
Mm.
So her goal is to stop that.
and how does Shay's relationship with the pouncer symbolize her defiance against the status quo?
Oh, well, it would be considered very unusual, of course, to be friends with, you know, the enemy,
yeah.
or someone maybe not seen as the enemy, but someone who is such a threat,
mm-hmm.
you know, to your own people, or is perceived as a threat to your own people, I should say. So her reaching out and wanting to connect with the forest creatures is definitely in defiance of expectation.
Our guest today is author Riley Kilmore, and we are discussing her newest book, Shay the Brave, which she let me know that my kids, who are the age 7 and 12, they are the perfect age to read this book. And I could not agree more. I'm going to make sure that they have, I'm going to have to give them each their own copy because they're not the sharing type.
Well, I'll tell you what. I brought two copies, and
oh.
I'll give them to you.
Oh, my goodness.
For your daughters.
Oh.
I'm very honored to be able to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Can you sign it?
I will sign
oh,
it.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, man. Now America is hearing how happy I am. So let's get back to this discussion on Shay the Brave and this book. Before we start talking about more details on the book, you said that grad school is where you wrote this book. So was that the motivation behind it? Was it a assignment or was there more to it?
Well, it was an assignment in that I had finished my thesis novel and my mentor wanted me to start a new book,
mm.
but she didn't specify whether it had to be middle grade, you know, romance. It could be anything.
Mm.
And it's just what came next. I think after writing a harder book like my thesis novel, the Space Saga, I wanted something a little more fun. Or not fun. I mean, the book's fun, but fun to write.
Mm.
Something that would just be more playful. And Shay is what evolved from that. Yeah.
Now, we mentioned before the break, we mentioned the pouncer and the character and the significance and the relationship between Shay and the pouncer. So what are some of the potential consequences of Shay's plan to free the pouncer?
Well, the consequences are, certainly upsets the town of Oldenshire, because the pouncer was going to be their harvest meal, you know, the main course,
mm-hmm.
M-A-N-E, main course of the harvest revel. So, and her dad is sort of in charge of the town as the manor of the lord of the manor, so he's upset. So she creates tension between herself and her father, between herself and all the townspeople, really. So yeah, that definitely sets up some conflict mm-hmm. between her and her town. Yeah.
Now, we also are introduced to another character as well, Alexei. Can you tell us about who this Alexei character is?
Sure. Alexei is Shay's sidekick, and in a way, like a little brother to her, I guess you could say. He is the laundress's son. So there's a class differentiation there, too. But again, she crosses these lines. She doesn't see these lines. So she's friends with Alexei. He is mute, so he does not speak other than with a sign language that Shay and he have developed.
Mm-hmm.
And she is teaching him to read, which is not something he would otherwise normally be exposed to. She brings him books, and she's teaching him to read.
Mm.
So, yeah. And right now I'm writing the sequel to Shay, actually,
mm-hmm.
and that is an Alexei story.
Mm. So. Now, with Alexei and the inability to speak, why did you have that dynamic in the story?
Well, that's a good question, too.
Thank you.
I think I did it partially as a personal challenge.
Hmm.
I wanted to see if I could write a character that would not actually have any lines in the book, and how that would be. I don't know. It just came,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to explore a different kind of communication because the book, in a lot of ways, is about different kinds of communication. We're communicating across the cultural lines. We're communicating across the class lines. And so I thought, you know, what other kinds of lines are there that divide communication? And certainly ability to speak is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we see in the book that there's a siege on Shay's fortress. So the themes of conflict and division in this novel, in this book, what did you want to express to the reader?
Well, I think what I'm trying to get across is that, intercultural alliances may not come easily, but they are worth the effort, and they are mutually beneficial. And in this way, I see Shay as very relevant to the times that we are living in now.
Yes. And Shay's mathematical mind, that being a unique perspective, especially when we're talking about war and the chaos of war. So how did you tie all that in?
Well, that actually emerged because my mentor in grad school, who I mentioned to you, her name is Heidi Ruby Miller. She is big on STEM in writing.
Oh.
And promoting STEM concepts. And so she did some classes on STEM that I took in grad school. So this put that in my mind. And I thought, you know, this would be a good book to bring that whole sort of STEM ethos into.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, it takes place in a pre-industrial society, which made it even kind of more of a challenge to have, you know, sort of a little bit of a STEM thing going on there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's how that all developed.
Now, with Shay, Shay the Brave is the title. So this really highlights Shay's courage. And with that courage, we see that this courage inspires others to embrace their true selves. So is that a theme that you wanted to communicate here with embracing your true self, being comfortable in your own skin?
Oh, I think absolutely, Marquise, that is one of the biggest takeaways from the book, or that I would hope would be a takeaway from the book, is the quest to be your authentic self.
Mm.
You know, I've faced some of that in my own life, by pursuing things that were not really wide open to me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, early in my life, I was a police officer, and I spent 20 years as a firefighter.
Mm.
So, you know, I know what it is to sort of be the odd woman out, you know what
yeah.
I mean, in that sense. So I think a lot of Shay sort of evolved from those experiences of my own.
Riley, I did not know that. A police officer and a firefighter.
Yeah.
So the third book is going to be Riley the Brave. I'm assuming, because wow. I was today years old. That is fantastic. Conflict resolution. How does that reflect the character's growth?
Not, you know, spoiler alert.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of growth by the end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, completely some turnaround, obviously, mm-hmm. for the entire town in how they decide to embrace Shay's vision for getting along with their neighbors and for Shay herself for discovering her ability to be her authentic self, at least initially entering that world of being her authentic self by sort of getting her father to let her wear what she wants, you know, sort of like a first step sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is just, you know, wear what you want, and then we'll see where that leads us.
Mm. And for the listener at home, let's say that they are interested. Well, not let's say they are interested in purchasing this book. Where could they purchase it from? And could you give a brief synopsis on what the book is about? I know that we've been talking about it for the last 20 odd minutes, but if you could give a brief synopsis and where they could find it.
All right. Well, the book is available pretty much anywhere online where books are sold. So wherever you like, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever your favorite, you know, bookseller is. And some brick-and-mortar stores carry it, such as Aaron's Book in Lidditz. I know that they have some. They had me come in and sign some copies. So there's some signed copies available there. It's not hard to find. Just look up Shay the Brave and you will get some links. And you can purchase a copy.
Oh, Riley, this has been fantastic. Thank you for joining us on The Spark today. I cannot wait for my daughters to indulge in it. I'm happy that you got one book for each of them. I'm sure their mom's going to be happy as well. So what's next for yourself?
Oh, well, like I said, I'm working on the sequel, which is an Alexi story. And what's coming out, though, before then, this spring, is going to be a Shay journal. Mm. So Share with Shay. It's going to be a journal with prompts inspired by the action in the book, chapter-by-chapter prompts, where kids can share their own thoughts and feelings about some of these social issues that are raised in the book.
Wow.
So that's next, and then an Alexi book. And meanwhile, I'm also trying to find a publisher for my space saga thesis novel and another book I'm working on, Western rom-com.
Wow. Riley, the grind never stops. I love it. You are truly an inspiration, and I appreciate you coming on The Spark today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Marquise.